Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sange, your host for the weekend. Very Merry Christmas to you. And joining us today is Dr. Leah Wiggum. Dr. Wiggum is a director for the UT Health Center for Community Health Impact, formerly known as the Institute for Healthy Living, and they are associated with the UT Health Sciences Center at Houston, UT School of Public Health, El Paso Branch. Dr. Wiggum, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me today, Louis.
Now, this anybody in healthcare, regardless of whether you're in healthcare, it's been a challenging year for everybody, but especially for people in healthcare like yourself. Tell us a little bit about some of the adjustments that you all had to do throughout this year.
It has been a very challenging year. You know, this pandemic has created all kinds of new challenges for everybody to deal with, everything from the way we do our daily work, needing to work from home instead of in the workplace, to dealing with the extra stresses that come along with living with the constant threat of a dangerous infectious disease, to some of the, you know, downstream effects, people losing their jobs, which impacts their ability to, for example, in an area that our center works in, impacts people's ability to afford healthy food and feed their families in a way that they're used to. So it's created a lot of challenges, but it's also given us a lot of important opportunities. You know, I think as a society, we're learning how to work better online and make use of online tools in a way that allows us to be creative in how we reach out to people and how we work with people, so that geography no longer is a barrier. And we're also, you know, as a scientific community, have made amazing progress in things like vaccine development and viral detection and how to treat these kinds of diseases. So I'm doing my best, I know, to focus on the positive things that have come out of this year, because we can't do much to change the negatives other than to try and learn from them and come up with new and creative solutions moving forward.
Is it a little bit harder? I mean, it's a challenge in both areas anyway, but is it a little bit harder dealing with working in public health?
It has been a very interesting year for public health. You know, as a field, public health professionals, we are the ones on the front lines working to help people understand what a pandemic can mean and how important it is to respond appropriately and collectively as a society. You know, if we don't come together and work together to address an infectious disease like COVID, then it's going to be much harder to keep people safe and healthy. So it has been a challenging year. I think we've seen what can happen when communication is not clear, or when leadership efforts do not align into one coordinated approach. You know, we are as Americans, we're used to our independence, and that's a wonderful, great thing. But we also need to know when it's appropriate to come together and unify collectively to address a problem. And we've seen lots of great examples of people coming together and working together. And that's really what public health is all about, is helping address health challenges that can impact an entire population. How do we best help to communicate the importance of coming together to take the right steps that are informed by science to address that health threat, so that we can not just improve life, but save lives in many circumstances, including this pandemic.
With the pandemic, when we started hearing about it a little bit more and shutdowns in March, and we started hearing about testing, COVID testing, a lot of people were saying, well, you know, I'm not sure if I can afford that. There are not very many testing sites available. But as the year progressed, El Paso County became very progressive with offering testing sites for the public.
We sure did. I mean, we ramped things up quickly. I know from the communication that I saw just as an individual living in the county, you know, I was seeing all kinds of communication through printed means and social media and television, helping people really understand where they could go and what the process was to get tested. And that's really one of the key pillars to dealing with a pandemic like this, is making sure people have access to testing and that they know how important it is to get tested. You know, making sure that if they're starting to feel sick, they know right away if they might have this virus, so that they can take the appropriate next steps to notify others that they've been around, to isolate themselves so that they don't spread the virus more. It's just really important, and our community has done a great job. Our county and city leaders have worked hard and tirelessly. You know, this is a job that has really taxed our public health professionals within the city and the county, and our healthcare providers who are working around the clock to make sure all of us have access to testing, to treatment options, and really working hard. And it's really important that all of us that live here in this region do our best and do our part to help support those efforts by following the guidelines and wearing masks and, you know, limiting our social interactions to just those that we live with and so forth. So it's been a great year to see El Paso come together, work together as a community, as a regional community, to address this challenge.
We're visiting with Dr. Leah Wiggum. Dr. Wiggum is the director of the UT Health Center for Community Health Impact, formerly known as the Institute for Healthy Living, associated with the UT Health Science Center School of Public Health here in El Paso, the El Paso campus. Dr. Wiggum, one of the things that we've talked about in the past is not a struggle necessarily, but the fact that when you're dealing with public health, when you're dealing with education, a lot of times it's hard to reach certain people because of barriers, because of cultural issues. And I was just wondering, was that difficult at first to get the word out about COVID to people, the importance of getting tested, or the fact that they're saying, well, you know, we heard a lot of people out there saying this is not real. It's something that I'm just going to – I need to go see my family. I need to go shopping. I need to do this, and I'm going to be okay.
You know, I think we've had a mix of that in our region. I've certainly seen a lot of examples where people got on board right away, changed their workplace practices, were very flexible. You know, we saw our school districts be very flexible right away with having kids do school from home, working quickly to adapt to online teaching so that kids could stay safe at home, doing their best to provide support to parents to manage this new world that we live in. Our school lunch programs through the school districts did a great job of pivoting very quickly to provide those meals to kids in a new format under new circumstances. And everybody was really dealing with these changes that were happening in an ongoing manner. You know, from week to week, we wouldn't know how safe it would be for working from home or versus working on site, doing school from home versus doing school on site. And everyone just had to be flexible and adaptable. And I think our community has shown great resilience in doing that. And I understand people are getting tired, and I know I see some flipping as I'm out and around the community, but I think by and large, I see people wearing their masks and limiting the size of their gatherings. And I think we just need to keep remembering how important that is, not just for the health and safety of ourselves and our family members, but for the community as a whole. So it has been challenging, but I think El Paso is an amazing community, and we've done a great job of pulling together to address this challenge, just like we have with so many other challenges in the past.
One of those challenges, of course, is some people losing their jobs, some people not having grocery money, etc. Food banks have been helpful, but you all are doing something that's called the Food Financing Initiative. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we've been doing a lot of work addressing the regional food system as a whole, and there's a lot of ways in which we can strengthen our regional food system to ensure that people have access to healthy and affordable food, foods that they like, foods that they and their families enjoy and that fit into their cultural traditions. And one of those things, and this all started long before COVID, but one area that we need to improve upon in our region is having access to healthy food in areas all across the county. Most of our grocery stores, we did a mapping project several years ago and showed that most of our grocery stores are really kind of concentrated along the I-10 corridor. And there's a lot of neighborhoods where people have to travel quite a distance to get to a grocery store. And for people who are challenged to have enough money to buy that food, if in addition to that, they have to spend money on gas and have a personal vehicle to even get to the grocery store, it creates even more challenges. So the Healthy Food Financing Initiative is a project that we started with the County of El Paso. And so this is a program that's now run through El Paso County to fund economic development efforts to increase access to healthy food. So these are projects that will increase either retail locations that sell healthy food or will help to support the infrastructure, the distribution infrastructure and availability of healthy foods to get them to those retail sites. And so we're the first county in the country to pass a healthy food financing initiative and launch a program like this. There are several cities that have done this, but this is the first time in the country that a county has pulled together to do this kind of work. So it's really exciting. And we had our first three projects funded through the Healthy Food Financing Initiative last spring. And the timing just by coincidence happened to be that the project funds were received just weeks before everyone needed to start staying home because of COVID. And as it happens, two of those funded projects were able to ramp up their ability to deliver food to people's homes because they were funded through this Healthy Food Financing Initiative. So it was really an exciting time, and it really demonstrated how these efforts to address our whole regional food system help us to be more resilient and more adaptable when a crisis hits. Because these two projects had been funded, these organizations were able to adapt quickly and help more people get food in a healthy way and in a nutritious way.
Some people might say, you know, I wasn't aware of this, but application period for the second round of the program is going to begin shortly.
That's right. So the second round of applications for the Healthy Food Financing Initiative will open in mid-January. And these will be applications for businesses and organizations who have ideas that they would like to be able to implement but need some funding, some one-time funding to get that idea up and running. So the three projects that were funded in the first round included Desert Spoon Food Hub. So their project helped them to open a warehouse in central El Paso along Yandel that allowed them to have the cold storage and the processing space to take produce from local farmers and wash it and put it into boxes so it could be distributed out to people's homes. And that warehouse also helps them distribute fresh vegetables grown by our local farmers to local restaurants and grocery stores and cafeterias as well. So it was a really important step in their process to be able to make that food that's grown right here in our region accessible to the people who need to purchase it and consume it. So it's an important part of that food system, that food supply chain. Extreme Core Fitness is another organization, a business that was funded by HFFI, and it allowed them to expand their healthy meal preparation program. So they prepare healthy meals that people can purchase for an affordable price and then take home and heat up for a quick and easy, convenient, it's fast food that's healthy food that they can take home and it's not expensive. So that was another project that they were able to expand through this Healthy Food Financing Initiative funding. And the other is Growing with Sarah Farms. It's a farm out in the eastern part of the county, and they were able to use funds from this program to build a farm stand. So that farm stand will now be selling farm grown or farm produce grown locally there to people in the eastern part of the county where there's really not much access to grocery stores. So it's another great example of increasing access to healthy food retail. So those are just examples of projects. Really, any project that's designed to increase economic development around healthy food could possibly qualify for this program. And so anyone who is interested in applying for that can check out our website, communityhealthimpact.org, or they can reach us through Facebook at UTHCCHI, or just search for UT Health Center for Community Health Impact.
We're visiting with Dr. Leah Wiggum. Dr. Wiggum is the director of the UT Health Center for Community Health Impact, formerly known as the Institute for Healthy Living. She's associated with the UT Health Sciences Center School of Public Health in Houston, the El Paso campus. When we go to the grocery store, sometimes we'll see signature signs there, that signage that says, you know, SNAP accepted, etc. But one of the things that you guys are looking at right now is that there are a lot of people who qualify for SNAP, but they don't use it.
That's right, Louie. We estimate, well, in Texas, it's estimated that more than 25% of people who qualify for SNAP don't use it. Either they're not enrolled in the program or they may be enrolled, but they're not using those funds. And in El Paso County, we estimate that comes to millions of dollars a month in benefits that aren't being used. And that's money that goes to people to buy food at our local grocery stores. And so that's money that then feeds into our economy. You know, it helps those grocery store owners to pay their employees, and it feeds back into our economic cycle locally. So it's really important that we make sure people who qualify for SNAP, which stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, it used to be called food stamps, people who qualify for SNAP, that they are able to get enrolled and use those benefits. And eligibility fluctuates with a person's, you know, it's adaptable eligibility. So especially during a time like this COVID pandemic, when people are losing their jobs, they may not have needed SNAP in the past, but if someone loses their job and is short on money to buy food for a few months, SNAP is the kind of program that can fill in that gap and help them have money to buy food for their family in that window of time when they may not be getting their paycheck. So it's a really important program for people to be aware of, but we know that for a long time, El Paso has not been making use of this program at very high rates. Like I said, about one in four people who qualify aren't using the program right now. And that was actually prior to COVID. So it could be even higher now because there's likely more people who qualify if they've lost their jobs. So what we're doing is we have launched a study to help us understand what's keeping people from enrolling in SNAP and what mechanisms would most help them get enrolled. What kind of support would they like to have to help them get enrolled in SNAP and use those benefits? So we have a survey and interview project going right now. We're looking for adults in El Paso who think they may qualify for SNAP but don't currently use SNAP to talk with us by phone, or they can go online to fill in an interview, a survey, and let us know what their experience is. And then that will help us work closely with the county and the city officials to develop strategies to better provide the kind of support people need to get enrolled and use those SNAP benefits. So again, they can find out more information about that from our Facebook page if they look for the UT Health Center for Community Health Impact. They can also just call a phone number and someone will answer. And we've got that phone number staffed during the daytime hours. So the number is 915-875-8523. I believe we have it staffed until about 8 o'clock at night. But just call that number and someone on the other end of the phone will walk you through the survey and see if you're interested in doing a more in-depth interview as well. So 915-875-8523.
Leah, we've been through Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's coming up. And a lot of times we blame the holidays for overeating, for things that perhaps, you know, we didn't get to exercise, et cetera. But this pandemic has, from what I heard, a lot of people has caused them to eat a little bit more, not exercise as much. And you have something, it's a concept called lapse, relapse, and collapse. Tell us about that.
That's right, Louis. So, you know, a really important thing for people to keep in mind when it comes to their weight. For people who struggle with their weight, they may have overweight or they may have obesity. It's really important to recognize that obesity is classified as a chronic disease. It's similar to having diabetes or heart disease, high blood pressure. It's not caused by poor food choices or lack of exercise. It's caused by something biological, physiological, or neurological within their body that causes their body to not be able to regulate how much fat they store in a healthy range. But we can still influence that weight by healthier choices, the kinds of foods we eat, especially how much we eat, and how active we choose our lifestyle to be. But the first step is recognizing that for some people, this can be really challenging, and there can be factors that are driving these changes that are very hard to overcome just with willpower alone. And by recognizing that as a starting point, giving ourselves a break and not casting blame on ourselves or on others who might have challenges with maintaining a healthy weight, that's a really important first step. And so this idea of lapse, relapse, and collapse is important for anyone who's in the process of trying to achieve a healthier weight or maintain a healthier weight, is that there will always be lapses. So if you've made a commitment to eat healthier, follow a healthier diet that's lower in calories, there will be days when you lapse. And recognizing that lapse is going to happen and that it can be driven by these internal factors that you don't have control over, it's important to recognize that there's a lapse and that the lapse can happen, the relapse can happen. And it's all you need to do is that next day just get right back to those healthier habits. If you start to blame yourself and get down on yourself for these factors that actually, you know, happen within our bodies and are hard for us to control, it can lead to collapse where you give up altogether. So recognizing that it's normal to have a lapse and that those lapses will happen again and again as a relapse, but that you can just put that behind you, move on to the next day and say, okay, today's a new day and I'm going to get back to my healthier habits. This is especially challenging during the holiday season because we're surrounded by opportunities to eat holiday meals, to eat special foods that we might all only have during the holiday time. So it's easy for people to get discouraged during the holiday time because the lapses can happen more readily when we're tempted by some of our favorite holiday foods and holiday traditions and social settings. But recognizing not that we just don't want to let that lapse turn into a collapse of our efforts. We want to keep coming back, working on it again, knowing that it's very common to have these lapses and it's okay. And that, you know, one lapse is not going to impact your health long-term. Letting it go to collapse could have a long-term impact. But just that one lapse, just let yourself know, give yourself a break and let yourself know you're going to start back at it and keep working towards those healthier habits for the long term.
And you know, I'm glad that you mentioned that obesity is classified as a chronic illness, disease, because you see instances where people have thyroid problems. They have, like you said, diabetes. They have other health issues. And unfortunately, not just in America, but everywhere, we're quick to judge and we're quick to look at people and say, oh, my gosh, look at him, look at her, et cetera. And children especially, sometimes they can be so cruel, bullies on the playground. You know, a child who is overweight, it can be very difficult on them.
That's right. You know, when people perpetuate stigma or bias around obesity, it just makes the circumstances worse. There's a lot of scientists who have studied this, and we know without a doubt that sending a blame or stigmatizing message to a person or a group of people who struggle with obesity does not help. So that is not the solution, whether it's your best friend, a family member, whether it's in a healthcare setting. You know, the solution is not to make that person feel bad about their efforts. It's to recognize that they face a challenge. You know, if you yourself are a thin person and you know someone in your life who struggles with their weight, chances are those biological factors I was talking about earlier, you just happen to get a roll of the dice genetically that means you have fewer of those kinds of internal challenges. And that person with the heavier weight got a worse case with the genetic lottery. And so they may have multiple things internally that drive how their body balances, how much food they eat and how many calories they burn during the day. So understanding that that's the root cause, then it can help us approach the possible solutions from a much better frame of mind and put us in a position to better use the tools that we have to address obesity. From all of these different perspectives, from the lifestyle side of it, but also from the medical side of it. There are medications and treatment options that are available, and we need to make sure people have access to those.
Well, Leah, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here today. We're probably going to have to follow up on all of this, especially after the beginning of the year, because that's when people are going out and fad diets and buying exercise machines and all that. So we'll carry on with that. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Louie. Bye-bye.
We've been visiting with Dr. Leah Wiggum. Dr. Leah Wiggum is the director of the UT Health Center for Community Health Impact, associated with the UT Health Sciences Center School of Public Health, El Paso campus. The Weekend is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Sam Cassiano. You've been tuned to The Weekend. I'm Louie Science.